With the death of Charlie Kirk and the Charlie Kirk Memorial and God taking home Votie Baucham, what is God doing? The good things and the bad things going on in the political movement and the church on this slice of fresh bread. Welcome to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church, Gainesville, with Pastor Brandon and Pastor Keith. Well, thanks for clicking on Fresh Bread. Fresh Bread, we're bringing the truth of God's Word to a starving world. Fresh Bread Podcast 120. Fresh Bread, where we try to sort the truth from the fact and the fiction and all that good stuff. So we are trying to do that, and we are also legal in all 50 states, so we're proud about that. So we're going to jump in today. There's been a lot going on since we've last done the podcast.
I don't know about California and Oregon.
Oh, you're right. We haven't cleared waivers yet there.
Yeah, we're still kind of wondering if we're outlawed there.
We're still blocked, but we are legal here in Florida, so we're very thankful for that. But what we're going to talk about today is there's a lot going on since the last time we did our podcast. I think it was the Charlie Kirk was assassinated on that day. I think was the last day where we actually talked about it. And then since that time, we've had the Charlie Kirk Memorial. We've had things go on. We had Votie Baucham, the Lord taking him home. And so my question to you as we start this podcast, Pastor Brandon, is what you think God is doing with all these things that are happening. We can even include John MacArthur in that. He passed away, what was it, a month ago? I can't even remember now, but we lost John MacArthur, Votie Baucham, Charlie Kirk getting taken out, and then we had his memorial. There's a lot of questions I have for you about that. I'd like to ask you the good and bad about that memorial, but let me just start with the first one. What do you think God is doing with all this happening going on in our world here?
Well, I mean, I don't profess to know what God is, you know, what he has planned specifically, you know, in detail. And, you know, the fact that he's taking these men away has been, I mean, from a human point of view, it would seem like, okay, there's some voices of reason. There's some voices that we listen to and go to that are gone. And, you know, and it seems like from our point of view that when we need those voices the most, we don't have them. But I think if you think about it, most people are in that position where, you know, that most Christians are in that position where they need, you know, they need voices. They need men who can speak into their lives, and they need those guys to be able to you know, better understand how they need to view life and view, you know, the applying the scriptures. So a lot of people in that position, but I think what is potentially happening is that we're getting in a situation where instead of looking to sort of the big guys, I think that Christians are going to have to get back to looking to those who are just faithful guys. And, you know, maybe they don't have the big platform, the big social media platform, but they are faithful, and they're faithfully proclaiming the truth. Now, I will say that, you know, into the void that has been left, that I will say that there are people who are injecting themselves into that void, and some for better, some for worse. And, you know, there definitely has to be a discernment going forward as to who, you know, you're going to listen to, and, you know, not necessarily who you're going to listen to, but who you're going to actually listen to. And there's a distinction there that I want to make. And that is, you know, we do need to listen to different sides of the argument, of the arguments that are out there, but we need to be careful who we actually take heed of and actually take our, you know, our example from. And so, you know, I say all that, you know, ultimately, I don't know what God is doing. I don't know, you know, if, you know, very well could be, you know, this is a part of things going from proceeding from bad to worse, that, you know, as this goes on, that God is taking away those influences that are more, you know, the guys that are going to point us in the right direction, and there's going to be this confusion that comes, and that very well could be what's happening. You know, that in his sovereignty, he's doing that. But other than that, I don't know. I wish I did. I mean, it would make things a lot easier. But, you know, I spent the last few weeks, I mean, obviously we know you, our listeners, many of them know I've been struggling with some illness, but I definitely spent the last couple of weeks trying to understand what God is doing, trying to understand how we are to respond as Christians in this situation. And, you know, so I've spent a lot of time in prayer, a lot of time in thought and trying to understand, but I'll admit that, at this point, not that I'm confused, but at this point, I'm still in that fact gathering phase of saying, okay, what's really happening here, and which way do we need to row? And I think we're going to get into some of that, because there's definitely people who are taking advantage of what's going on, and they're saying, okay, this is the direction we need to row. And the question is, who do we listen to? So,
yeah.
I know I answered. I think I might have answered your question to a certain degree, but I think I answered a lot of other questions in the midst of that.
No, and you sound like PJ Fleck, the head coach of the Gophers, roll the boat. So I'm glad you brought that in. No, I was talking to some guys at church on Sunday, and we were going through some of the things that the deaths of these giant men that have happened. And I remember about 5 years ago, I was trying to explain fundamentalism, evangelicalism, and progressive Christianity to some people. And I remember I made a list of, this is what I would call MacArthur and these guys, I would call them fundamental evangelicals. And then I had evangelicals, and then I had progressives. And so on the progressive side, I have, you know, like Joel Osteen and Stephen Furtick and, you know, all these guys over here. And then In the evangelical side, I had John Piper, maybe Tim Keller. And then on the fundamental evangelicals, I had MacArthur, Sproul, Washer, Lawson, Alistair Begg, and Vody Bachum. And it's interesting on that list on the far right, you know, MacArthur, the Lord took him home. R.C. Sproul is gone. Steve Lawson disqualified himself. Alistair Begg, I think, was borderline disqualifying himself. And Vody Bachum was taken home. So all we have left really is Paul Washer. And it's interesting how we were just talking about that. So what is God doing in that by doing this? And we don't really know for sure, but we know he's doing something. And so something is happening.
Well, for sure. And that's the reason I say I've been in prayer and thought, you know, trying to understand which way things are going and how, you know, what God really is doing and trying to discern that. And because I know he's doing something, like he's not silent in this. And it's really, I mean, to put it bluntly, it's trying to figure out what is of Satan and what is of God.
Yeah.
And, you know, what is satanic and what is godly, and trying to, you know, what is, say it in the way James would say, what is from above and what is from below. And, you know, because we know that both are at work, that both sides are at work in this. And we can get into that as we go along.
Yeah, we will, because that's a good point you bring up, because whenever there's a movement of God, it's good, but there's also a counterfeit movement of Satan, which is bad. And it's really sometimes hard to differentiate, because Satan is so subtle and everything seems to be okay. I mean, we can even talk about, even when you look at the different religions, Mormonism and Catholic and Seventh-day Adventist and all these things, they all kind of say the good things. They're all talking about Jesus, and we worship Jesus, we love Jesus. But what Jesus is it? It's a different Jesus. But you don't know that unless you really dig into it. So what I want to do now is talk about the Charlie Kirk Memorial. And this was a amazing event. It happened, was it last? It was two Sundays ago, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a five-hour, I mean, how many people were there? They lined up for hours and days, I think, to get in, and it was in Arizona. And so I want to ask you, there was a lot of good things that came out of this, and there were some things that I think we need to be careful of and we need to watch out for. So I'm just going to ask you, what were the good things that you saw?
Well, I mean, the gospel, there were some men there that preached the gospel.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it was clear, especially Frank Turek was mm-hmm. one of those guys. And I think that even Charlie Kirk's pastor did a good job and, you know, spoke the truth and didn't hold back. And so, you know, that happened, and it happened on national television and on social media that, you know, being streamed, and people can still watch that memorial. Even today, you can go to YouTube and get that, you know, watch that memorial. So I mean, there was a lot of good. I mean, there was a lot of good things in terms of the gospel that happened during that memorial. And I think we need to be thankful for that. That the true gospel was preached.
Yes, amen. It caused a lot of people to rethink their life and caused them to go searching for truth. And so we know that a lot of churches were overly filled on that Sunday after, you know, Charlie Kirk was taken out. And also it gave people, I think it's given people more boldness in their faith.
Sure. So absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think that there are definitely going to be people that I think there probably are many, many people who will become, you know, saved because of this, because they heard the true gospel and will hear it, and God will direct them to a solid church, and you know, they'll continue to learn and grow as Christians. And I think we should be thankful for that.
Yeah. Amen. And also some of the bad things that came out of it, some of the things that we saw that were not great. What did you think?
Well, I think I'll start by saying, and I know this might be shocking to someone who listens to this, but I'll start by saying that it was really a Billy Graham event on steroids. Mm. And the reason I say that is, if you go back and look at Billy Graham, you know, what he did is he went in and preached, I think a solid gospel, but he joined hands with Roman Catholics and others in order. And so he blurred the line between, you know, what is true Christianity and what is a false Christianity. And in that case, it was more the Roman Catholic. Now, Roman Catholics were involved in this situation here today. You know, you can, I think it's called Evangelicalism Divided by Ian Murray. I think that's the book that talks about Billy Graham and talks about what he did and the ecumenicalism that was going on. And I think it's the same thing that's happening, the same thing that happened with Charlie Kirk. And I think that the danger is that could be taken advantage of by certain people and has been taken advantage of by certain people. You know, that, you know, from a, you know, Glenn Beck, you know, he's a conservative voice. I listen to him. I'm thankful for him in many ways, but he's a Mormon and he's going to blur the lines in terms of the gospel. And, you know, Glenn Beck spoke, you know, you have a guy like Tucker who, you know, you'd like to think that he's becoming a biblical Christian and he said a lot of good things, but, you know, I don't know where he stands. And ultimately he's not a guy that I want to be teaching me and teaching others the gospel. You know, and there's others. I mean, there's Hindus that were involved, you know, Ramaswamy. I mean, so it really blurs the line when it comes to what is the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. It was his memorial. And again, it's a memorial, so it's not a church service. So we understand that it doesn't have to be perfect theology because it's a memorial.
Well, the problem is that it was modeled after a church service.
And that's what I was getting to. But what we really saw, it was almost like a political religious hybrid kind of thing, right?
Well, I think it was. And I think that's the problem, is that it blurred the lines. And it not only blurred the lines on the message, but it blurred the lines of what, you know, as Christians we should be doing. I mean, they didn't make any bones about it. They made it into a worship service. And so they basically are having church there. But with that, they ended up having, you know, all these different speakers that are, you know, speaking, and in the midst of, you know, the truth being proclaimed. And again, I think it blurred the lines, and I think it's dangerous.
Yeah, we have to admit, there was a lot of bad theology there as well. There was a lot of good stuff, but there was a lot of false faith, false teachers. We had the New Apostolic Reformation was represented there. We had the Word of Faith people were there. And just, it was just a lot of bad theology. The music was Bethel music, which we would not consider solid. But again, it was to honor, you know, Charlie Kirk. But again, I think it's because it was, a lot of it was, Charlie Kirk is very associated with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump, his religious guru is Paula White, who is a new apostolic reformation person. So obviously there was a connection there, and I think that Trump had, you know, that his administration had a little bit to say of what kind of how the event was going to go. And so I guess we need to ask the question, as we're looking at this political religious hybrid thing that's kind of evolving out of this memorial and out of Turning Point USA, it's sort of becoming that. Is it better that we save America and we lose the gospel, or is it better to hold on to the gospel and lose America? That's kind of like, neither one of those are very good, right?
Well, I don't think you can bifurcate the two. I mean, in the sense of, you know, one or the other. I don't think we can give up the gospel in light of, you know, because we want to save America. And yet at the same time, I think our desire should be to see this culture preserved. Because, you know, at the end of the day, as Christians, we are salt and light, you know, to this world, to the culture. And, you know, we're the ones who should be proclaiming the truth to the culture. And that's what the culture needs, is to know the truth and to act upon the truth. And so, you know, to say one is more important than the other, obviously, if I'm going to choose, you know, whether I'm going to stay faithful to the gospel, or if I'm going to try to save the world, so to speak, or save the culture, then I'm definitely going to choose the gospel, right? I mean, there's no question of that. But at the same time, I don't know that we can say, it's an either or. I think it's both, but I think that the focus has to be on the gospel.
And I agree. And I think it's different when we talk about politics and the gospel, because politically, we can unite with all different religions politically, right? We can. Charlie Kirk, his main stance of Turning Point USA was, I think his points were, stop communism, stop censorship, stop war, stop inflation, stop the invasion at the borders, stop transitioning kids, stop racists, stop DEI, stop crime, stop tyrants. So he said, we need to vote for Trump. And what he did is he needed the help of all of the church to really do this. And so they all worked together, all these churches united to help save the West, to help save America.
Yeah, let's be careful with our terms. And I know you didn't mean this, but when you said the church, there, we have to understand that there's the true church that I would say is the invisible church, if you will. It's there, but invisible is probably not the right word, but it's the true church, and it's made up of believers. And then there's the wider church that is sort of the visible church, and that visible church includes those who are quote unquote Christians but aren't necessarily believers or aren't believers. And so I would lump in that bigger church picture, if you look at how the world looks at it, the bigger church picture is that you know, you have Mormons, you have Catholics, you have you know, Jehovah's Witnesses and all those that are in that big church circle. And then you have the small church circle that is the true church.
I'm glad you defined that better, because what I was doing is I'm defining how the secular world would define the church. I think they would define the church as Roman Catholics, Mormons,
yes,
Seventh-day Adventists, Freemasons, Charismatics. All these people would be lumped into one giant. But what I was trying to say is Charlie Kirk, I'll ask you, did he have a biblical worldview when he was?
I think personally, Charlie Kirk did have a biblical worldview. I think he saw everything through the lens of Scripture. And so I have no fault in, or very little fault in, Charlie Kirk and how he was doctrinally driven, and what doctrine was driving him. And I would say that most of what he said, I agreed with. You know, you brought up all these different issues that he dealt with. And I would say most of the way down the line, I don't know where I would disagree with him in general. Then the reason is that he's, those things that he was going for, or that he was pushing, he had a biblical foundation for them. So yeah, I think Charlie Kirk himself was a guy that was driven biblically, and I think that was good. Now, again, you know, he did link arms with people. You know, he did link arms with others, and, you know, for a political cause. And, you know, that's where you have to be very clear about the lines. Because as you say, I can link arms with someone on an abortion issue. Like I can, you know, I can stand with a Mormon and denounce abortion, right? And I can stand with a Catholic and talk about, you know, God, you know, marriage and how God created male and female, and that we shouldn't be, you know, messing with that. I can stand with those people in those situations. And that's what Charlie Kirk was doing. But it's the problem becomes when you start blurring the line in terms of the gospel.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what Charlie Kirk was doing, right? I agree with you. I think he had a biblical worldview. But what he had to do is he had to blend the politics and religion together to create this. It's kind of like a patriotic Christianity, like we talked about with when we were going through the Doug Wilson interview, this Christian nationalism. And so he had to blend all these together. It's like this big pot of all these different theologies coming together politically to fight the same enemy. We would join that in the political fight, but not in the in a theology doctrinal fight of the gospel. We could not join that fight.
Absolutely. And I think that's where the funeral blurred the lines. And I think that's where we have to, you know, as Christians, we have to be wise. And we can say, yes, there's some good things that came from this. And there were some good things that Charlie Kirk did. But this is where, you know, where things went too far.
Absolutely. So do you think in our country, do you think we are at a turning point right now in the United States?
Well, I think that the turning point
we've
is
already happened. Turned.
we're turned. You know, the conversation is completely different than even 6 months ago. You know, when Trump was, you know, when Trump was elected, I don't think I would have envisioned any of what's happened. You know, in terms of the, you know, like as an example, you know, a Christian being the, you know, over the War Department and the things that have had the Christian talk that's happened and the influence that's there. And I thank the Lord for much of that. And, you know, I think in terms of the political process, but yeah, I think that the turning point was probably Trump's election. We just didn't see it at that point. I think that when we look back a decade from now and look back on this time, I think that we're going to see that Trump's, you know, 47th presidency is, you know, that's the turning point. And all of this stuff that's going on, you know, all these events, they're not little, but all these events are just in the aftermath of that.
I agree. Did you think, or I should ask, how many people do you think saw Charlie Kirk as an evangelist, or did they just see him as a political guy?
Well, I mean, I do think that people, they blurred those lines. And I think that there is a sense that he was an evangelist, and, you know, because he did preach the truth, or speak the truth. I shouldn't say preach, but I should say speak the truth. You know, he did speak the gospel in the midst of those things. How he was seen, you know, I don't know if I can answer that. I don't know if he was seen more as a political operative or as an evangelist. I mean, I see him more as a political operative that, you know, had a foundation of Christianity, a biblical foundation. That's how I see him. And did he preach the gospel and people come to know the Lord? Well, I think so, probably so. But I don't see him as an evangelist. But I have, to kind of give a quick understanding, I see evangelist in a different light than, you know, I think biblically than a lot of people do. Evangelist is not just someone who preaches the gospel, but evangelist is someone who preaches the gospel in a context that needs a church established, and they work toward establishing that church. And I don't see Charlie Kirk in that light. Now, did he preach the gospel, and was he an evangelist in that way? Yeah, I mean, I can see that, but I just wouldn't say he was an evangelist. Now, what do other people think? I think that there probably are people who saw him as an evangelist. They, you know, and I even, and what's funny is I even compared his his funeral to, you know, that happening to the Billy Graham, Billy Graham crusade.
Yes.
And so, yes, I mean, in that sense, he definitely, there's an evangelistic focus that he had.
Well, as I was going to ask you, the reason I asked that question is, do you think he was taken out because of his Christian belief or his political beliefs, or is it both? Like,
yeah,
people hated him so much.
I've heard people talk about that. I mean, I think if you look at it from the point of view of the assassin himself, I think he thought that what he understood about the trans community and what he said about the trans community, I think that's what drove him specifically to kill him, right? I mean, to pull the trigger. I think specifically he wanted to stop what he called, what the killer, Tyler Robinson, I think he wanted to stop what he saw as hate by Charlie Kirk. And so I think if you look at that from that point of view, the trigger was what Charlie was saying about the trans movement. And I think you would have to say that the foundation for what he was saying about the trans movement was biblical. And so, you know, there's a biblical understanding. So, yes, I think that Charlie Kirk was killed because of his stance on biblical truth.
Yeah. And we could do a whole nother, like four podcasts on conspiracy theories, on all the things that what happened with Charlie's death. There were so many weird things that happened there. And yeah, because you and I have talked about the Kennedy assassination and how I'm sort of an Oswald guy and you're sort of like, I think it was more than that. And so we look at Charlie Kirk, we can go, was there more here than what meets the eye, or was it just some weird stuff going on? But maybe we can do that on another podcast, because there's some crazy stuff. I mean, and here we are in 2025, and it's like it can happen, and we still can't piece everything together on how it went, you know, with just the video evidence and all this stuff. It doesn't all line up as good as...
Well, just to give you, to let the cat out of the bag, in terms of the Kennedy assassination, I think at this point Oswald acted alone.
Let me
finish.
I got excited for a minute.
I'm not completely agreeing with you, but I think he actually pulled the trigger. I think he's the one that shot Kennedy at this point. But I think that there were things behind. I think his background shows us that there were more to it than just he didn't like Kennedy and he wanted to take him out. I mean, I think that there was a conspiracy behind that. Behind that action, and that he was the patsy that they used. That's kind of, you know, what I think at this point.
Yeah, and I'm willing to kind of go down that road as well. Maybe, yeah, the CIA got to him or something. So there is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting off topic, but he had to have a motive, and I don't think that motive was, I don't like John F. Kennedy, right?
Yeah.
You know, or I don't think that motive was, I want to become famous, but for killing a famous guy. I think there was a motive beyond that was behind all of it. And I think that motive was tied to, you know, whatever shadow group that was behind, whether it's CIA or whoever. So,
yeah. And for me, with the Charlie Kirk, the assassination, there's some discrepancies that I see. I don't know, when you watch the video of Tyler Robinson running off the building, then jumping down, it's weird that he's running before the shots are fired. And so, like, they don't show him laying down. They just show him running. And then they don't show him with the rifle. But then he disassembled the rifle, put it in the bag, jumped down, went in the woods, reassembled the rifle. There's all these, it's just so many things are weird about all this. And like I said, I don't know all of it, but it's just, nothing is ever like rock solid. And even when you watch something happen here, there's always what happened. Are we seeing the truth? Is this truth? Is this AI? What are we watching here? You know, it's getting to that point in our world. So, but we can do, we'll definitely talk about this down the road here a little bit more as time goes on. And there's just some weird conspiracy theories out there, but some of them are like, makes you wonder. But let me just ask you, getting back to what we were talking about with the Charlie Kirk Memorial and all the unifying all these different denominations and and beliefs and things, but so are we about to enter? I'm just going to ask you. Some people believe we're about to enter into this, and I don't know. I was going to see what you thought. Are we about to enter into a Bible revolution? Are we entering into this giant revival that some people are seeing?
Well, I think that's a qualified yes, and I mean yes, because I think the true gospel is going to be preached, and I think there are going to be many who come to know the Lord. You know, as the time gets nearer, I think that there's going to be many who become to know the Lord, which I'm prayerful and hopeful that that is the case. The problem is that I think maybe you said this, you and I were talking before we got started. The problem is that there's a quote, and it's attributed to Winston Churchill and also to Rahm Emanuel, but never let a crisis go to waste.
Mm.
And I think that there's going to be, I think Satan is not going to let this lie. I mean, he's not going to let this go to waste. He's going to use it for his purposes. And I think that's where, as Christians, we have to be able to we shouldn't blur that boundary and say it's all good because, you know, the gospel is being preached. Well, it's not all good because there are negative outcomes that I think are going to happen. But I can see that overarching all of this is that God is sovereign and that it's all according to his purpose. He's working all of these things out, and he's working them out, and he's using good and bad.
Yeah.
But I have to be careful because as a Christian, I have to be careful to discern what, you know, where the line is. I don't want to blur the line. Does that make sense?
Yes. So is the main question that we should be asking, and those of us who are part of the, like, quotations, air quotations, the church, like we are the called out body. So should we be asking the question, who are Christians? Are Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, all these people, Catholics, Hindus, our word of faith, are they Christians? Is that something we should be asking, or should we just say, the Lord will sort it out?
No, I think we need to have a clear understanding of what a Christian truly is. And I think we need to be able to say, you know, that there are certain people who claim to be Christians who are not Christians because this is what they believe, and this is where they diverge from true Christianity. So yeah, I think it's important that we understand who is and who isn't, and we understand, you know, again, linking arms in a political, you know, for political reasons is definitely different than linking arms for, you know, the gospel, purpose of the gospel. And we may, here's what we have to understand as well, is we may not think that, you know, from our point of view, we may think that we're linking arms in terms of this political thing, whatever this political issue is. But we have to understand that Satan is going to take advantage of that. And we need to be very clear as to what, you know, what we're doing and why we're doing it, and really hold on to the purity of the gospel.
I agree. Do you agree with our buddy Spencer Smith, who has a YouTube channel, and he talks about these things, and so he believes that, and I'm using the big E word here, I have a hard time saying that.
Yeah, ecumenicalism.
Where does the unifying all these different denominations and faiths, he says that history shows that it always leads to Rome, the Roman Catholic Church. And so, like, we look at if the Pope is pro-life and he's Republican, I think most people would go stand with him, right? He wants to unite all of this with, but anyway, his theory, I was going to ask you if you agree with him, does all roads lead to Rome when you start uniting all these faiths together?
Well, I mean, that certainly seems to be the case. Historically speaking, I think he's right that's where it's, I mean, I brought up Billy Graham and his ecumenicalism, and now I can't say it.
I'm glad you said it, not me.
Billy Graham, you know, I brought up Billy Graham earlier, mm-hmm. and the fact that he linked arms with Catholics, and so I don't think it's a mistake that anytime these kind of things happen, that's where it goes. And I think, and quite frankly, you know, that in the end times, there's going to be the beast and a false prophet the Antichrist and the Antichrist and the false prophet. Sorry, and so the you know the false prophet, I very well could be a pope, and you know that I think that Roman Catholicism is a false religion, and it sounds good, it's almost there, but I think it's a false religion, and I think the false prophet could very well be the pope. And so, yes, I do agree with Spencer Smith in that sense,
Yeah, he has a theory, and it's an interesting one, where he sees the Reformation back when Martin Luther nailed the theses to the door, and the the Lutheran Church split off, and all these other denominations split away from the Catholic Church. He thinks during the end times that Rome's going to bring all these people back, like it's an open arm kind of thing, and they're going to welcome all these people. And it's kind of scary because a lot of that stuff you could see happening. And I think what we're trying to say is that the Charlie Kirk Memorial, again, there was a lot of good things that came out of it, but also there's some things that are like, wow, this is concerning, because this is what could lead to this. And it's hard to, again, we always talk about being the wet blanket, and you know, we're throwing water on the fire because, you know, this is a revival and all this stuff, but we just want to make sure that we stay biblical and we watch these things happening, and you can't deny, you know, what the Bible talks about during the end times. You know, you look at 2 Timothy, where it talks about people will leave solid doctrine for things they want to hear. Their ears are itching to hear what they want to hear, and we can see that all over in the progressive church, and it's just spreading all over.
Well, and it's interesting. I think that there is a spirit of confusion that's been sent out. Paul talks about it in 2 Thessalonians, the deluding influence, and that's going to mislead, even if possible, the elect. And so I think that there is definitely that spirit that's at work right now among, you know, using Paul's words, among the sons of disobedience. And I think that the danger is that we as the elect get led astray by the lies that are out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really hard not to jump on, I always call it the bandwagon, jump on this movement, because you're like, oh, this is the Holy Spirit, so let's jump on it. But we have to be careful that there's two kind of spirits in the world, right? There's the Holy Spirit, and then there's a bad spirit, you know, the satanic, and Satan is a counterfeiter, and he's going to use everything. So we just have to be careful. I would say I'm always one of these guys that if everyone's moving this direction very quickly, take a step back and just make sure that this is something that is biblical. And so I just I'm going to ask you this, unless you had something more you wanted to add to that.
No.
I've heard Glenn Beck say this, and again, a Mormon, so we would consider Mormonism not Christianity, but he is going around saying that there's been two Christian martyrs in the United States of America. Charlie Kirk is one, and Joseph Smith is the other. And that is something that we definitely would not agree with, right?
Well, for sure. Joseph Smith was a heretic, and he was not a good man. He was a man who, as a matter of fact, you know, in, I think it was Illinois, he was, you know, basically sleeping around with everybody, all the men's wives, and ultimately they ended up killing him for it. And so, you know, to say that, and I know that sounds harsh, but I think it is. History bears that out. He was truly a false prophet. He was truly a man who had, you know, he was an ungodly man. And so to call him a Christian is not even, he's not even in the realm of Christianity, in my opinion. You know, obviously wrote the Book of Mormon, and, you know, it says he did it from these, you know, plates that he found, and just bizarre stuff if you really sit and think about it. And to call him a Christian would be a stretch. To call him a martyr would be a stretch. I mean, not just a stretch. It would be, you just can't say that. I mean, he's not a martyr. He died because he was an ungodly man. And so, yeah, he was absolutely not a Christian martyr.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think you can compare the two. But I know that's kind of where we're moving to. We're starting to open our arms a little wider and embracing some of these things, which again can lead down a bad road. So getting back, unless you want to finish something.
Well, and Charlie Kirk, is he a Christian martyr? Well,
that's a good question.
I think that there's a sense where he is. I mean, I think there's a sense that he died, and I said it earlier, he died because of his stance on, the trans movement, specifically to Tyler Robinson, the assassin. He died because of his stance on biblical truth. And so, I think that in that sense, I can see where, he could be considered a martyr. Because he died for a stand on biblical truth. But I definitely wouldn't lump him, if he is a martyr, I would not lump him in with Joseph Smith.
No, it used to be where a martyr, you had to be forced to recant your faith or something. Wasn't that one of the, burned at the stake? And then you had to, if you didn't recant your faith in Christ, they would burn you at the stake. I thought there was something like that, but.
I think, the first Christian martyr was Stephen. And so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
He was stoned without.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say they weren't forcing him to recant, but they were upset about what he was saying.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I think we have to take, the definition of a martyr biblically, and we do see an example of a martyr in Acts chapter 7. I think it's Acts. No, it's Acts 6, I think. But we do see Stephen as a martyr. And we see why he became a martyr, because of his stand on the truth, and they hated what he was saying. And that's exactly, if you get right down to it, that's exactly what Charlie Kirk was doing. He made a stand on the truth, and they hated him for what he was saying, and ultimately one of them killed him. So in that sense, I can see Charlie Kirk being a martyr.
So when we look at this, do we ask a question, do words cause violence? And if they do, should Christians stop talking about sensitive issues like abortion and transgender issues because we don't want to offend others? Is that something we should be doing?
Yeah, it's interesting, because one of the last things that Bodhi Bauckham did, I listened to his last lecture, the final lecture and a final interview that he had right before he passed away. He talked about identity politics, but he also, that ultimately what happens is that people say, basically, I identify as, so let's just say somebody's a homosexual, practices homosexuality. Well, they identify as a homosexual because that's how God made them. Mm-hmm. Therefore, what happens is if I tell you that homosexuality is a sin, well, then that becomes violence, because you're saying that how I've been made is wrong. You're saying that I shouldn't exist, right? I mean, that's what you're saying, because I am a homosexual. Then if a person speaks against homosexuality, they're basically saying that person shouldn't exist. A trans person who has, changed sex, and you say, hey, I mean, they identify now, they've identified as a transsexual person. They've identified as a male or a female. That's their identity. And so if I tell you you're not a male, because you're not a male biologically, then basically that's an attack. That's violence, because you're telling me I shouldn't exist. And so what happens is that on the other side, that basically, because we're being violent with what we're saying, that gives them the right to be violent in other ways. I mean, like in, with guns and knives and things like that.
Okay, so does that mean we should stop talking about that as Christians? We should stop violating?
No, because,
do they have a sacred space that we shouldn't violate?
No, because we have to recognize that homosexuality is actually a sin, and it's something that someone practices. They don't identify, they don't become, they're not homosexual. Like that's not their identity. They're actually a person. They're actually a person who has, who has been made in the image of God, and they are sinning. And so I must speak to them the truth. The truth of the Word of God is that you're practicing sin. You are doing something sinful, and it's not who you are, it's what you're doing. And so I think, yeah, for sure, we have to be willing to speak those words, and they may take those words as violence, but we can't stop saying them. And I think that we have to be careful not to, you know, that like we need to be careful to make sure that we stay in the, you know, on the, along those lines of they are someone made in the image of God. So they have worth. I mean, that I think we have to affirm that as a person, they have worth, then they have worth in the eyes of God. But you know, but that doesn't mean that that means I have to tell them the truth and not hold back, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we talked about, speaking truth in love. It's actually more loving to tell someone that they are in sin and need to repent than just say, I don't want to offend you, and so I'm just going to let you live your life and never know the truth.
Yeah, and that for sure, that love and truth go hand in hand, and you know that, you know, Jesus in John 1 is full of grace and truth, and so, you know, we have to recognize that, you know, we're not being loving if we don't tell people the truth. And, you know, but just telling them the truth without loving them and understanding, you know, that they are someone made in the image of God who God can redeem, then, you know, we've missed the boat on that as well. So, I mean, we have to understand it's both. It's both, and I have to be willing to speak the truth, but I need to do it in a loving way. And I need to do it out of an understanding of that this person is made in the image of God and is redeemable. And, you know, God can save them if he chooses to. One or the other gets me out of balance.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, all grace and no truth is not grace at all, right?
Exactly.
All truth and no grace is not truth.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. And again, we're talking about the Charlie Kirk Memorial and all the good things that came out of, but also the things to be careful about, because we do believe God is moving. He always is moving, but also Satan is also working. And
yeah,
so
God has his purpose in what's happening. We may not know exactly what that is, but he has his purpose. But we can't miss the fact that Satan is going to try to use it for his advantage.
Right. Whenever people are hit in the face with this kind of raw emotion that happened with Charlie Kirk, this is the time when also people are the most vulnerable to a message that may not be truthful. People are more easy to sway that way when things like this happen. So that's why we're just kind of saying, okay, whoa, let's put the brakes on this and let's think about this and pray about it. And so I don't know if you've heard this. There's a guy, what's his name? Tim Clement or something, or some prophet. He's a new apostolic reformation guy, but he prophesied, I think in 2013, that there would be a woman that would rise up in the United States and she would be the new Esther. She would save our country. And so now they're all pointing to Erica Kirk as becoming that person. And it's just kind of creepy how he said, you know, she would have these amazing eyes and she would be blonde. And so it all kind of fit Erica Kirk's profile. But that's another thing that can happen, right? When we start getting into these false prophets and people who claim to be prophets.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely, a Balaam thing. Balaam was a false prophet, and he actually spoke the words of the Lord and truth, and yet he was a false prophet. And so I'm not saying that, I mean, what I am saying is that I think it's demonic. To get right down to it, I think that it's a demonic prophecy. I think that it probably was a true prophecy in that sense. I mean, in the sense of speaking something that's going to happen, but I think it was demonically driven. If it was, I think it was demonically driven. And so, but, you know, ultimately, what I want to be careful in not saying is that, you know, is Erica Kirk then, is she going to be used in a demonic way? Well, not necessarily. you know, God can still use her for his purposes, and while this prophecy behind it was a demonic prophecy, and that demonic prophecy being used for demonic purposes. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but.
Yeah, no, I agree. The reason I brought it up is because when you watch the memorial, Erica Kirk came out and they had all these lights and explosions and fireworks going off. And it was kind of like, to me, it just didn't fit. But then someone explained it to me that that's how Charlie Kirk came out when he did his things, that he had these fireworks going off. And so they were trying to kind of pay homage to Charlie. And as she came out, did all this. And to me, it didn't fit with a memorial at like a funeral or someone's funeral. So I just didn't understand it, but now I get it. But when you hear that prophecy and then she comes out and all this stuff's going off, it's like, oh, she's been anointed. But I'm not sure. Like, again, these guys, like you would call them, I would too, false prophets. But it's interesting to see how all this stuff is kind of falling into place. Will Satan use that to tempt her into doing something? Will she run for vice president or president or whatever? I don't know. It's interesting to see what happens down the road here.
Yeah, I don't profess to know where her heart's at and what her motives are. So whether or not, you know, her motives were good and right, I pray they were. Is it outside of the realm of possibility that she'll ultimately turn? I mean, because of the nature of sin and the nature of the human heart, I have to say that that is a possibility. But I would stop short of saying that she was, you know, that she was being demonically driven herself. I just think that this prophecy, because, you know, it's funny because the people you're talking about, you know, the NAR and those people, Bethel, those people are all, I think that's a demonically driven religion. And so I have no problem with can the demons, quote unquote, speak the truth or prophesy, you know, in that way. Well, if you think about the Egyptian, you know, response to Moses, I mean, there were guys that were conjuring up miracles, right? And so yeah. God, I think, does allow that. And you know, he does allow ungodly prophets that can speak the truth. But I think it's, again, they're demonically driven. So
I was going to ask you this question. It's an interesting question. Do demons know, like, future events? Do they kind of, do they know the future? Or is it just angels? But, I mean, they are fallen angels. Do angels know the future?
Well, I think that God can reveal that to them for his purposes. And so, you know, that I can't say. They're not sovereign like God. They're not all-knowing. They're not omniscient. You know, they're not, you know, all those attributes that you give to God. But, you know, can God reveal something to them in order to, you know, for his purposes? Yeah, I think so. I mean, Job chapter 1, he revealed to Satan, you know, Job and that sort of thing. And so, you know, and yes, the answer to the question is no. I don't think they can prophesy in that sense. Like, they're all knowing, omniscient. But I do think that God, for his purposes, can reveal things to them in order for them to use in that way.
Mm, interesting.
I mean, you have to see everything through the lens of the sovereignty of God. You know, yeah. That, you know, this is something that, you know, like, Satan has been given control of the world, right? But ultimate control of the world is God, right? Because God controls him, Satan, and he uses Satan for his purposes. And so, you know, a demonic presence, I think you have to recognize that God can use demons for his purposes. I mean, it's within the realm of possibility, and we see that, again, we see that with Satan himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
In Job chapter 1.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because there's a whole other thing we can talk about, maybe in another podcast, where there's a movie called Snake Eyes with Nicolas Cage, and it talks about some person by the name of Charles Kirkland getting shot in the neck on September 10th at Trump Tower by Robertson, the assassin or something. And it's just weird, but somebody had a theory that some of these writers in Hollywood are dynamically being led to write movies that they don't understand what they're writing, but they think it's just a, but I, so then somebody asked me, well, then how do demons don't know the future? And I said, that's a good question. I'll ask Pastor Brandon, but that's a good answer too. You know, maybe God does reveal things to these demons to use for his purpose as well. So it's an interesting topic.
Yeah, it is an interesting topic. And I think it delves into the sovereignty of God and how we view the sovereignty of God and, you know, how we view how God uses evil for good. You know, Genesis 50:20, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. And so God used in Joseph's life, God used evil actions by people in order to bring about that, you know, what happened. And so I think that, you know, God can use demons and he can use, you know, ungodly people for his purposes. And I think that he does allow them, whether he directly reveals it to them or not, he does allow them to see things that, that, you know, I don't have, it's inexplicable ultimately, because I don't know what, you know, how it works, but I do think that he does allow them to see things and that they can, you know, like writing a movie. And we know that I'm absolutely convinced that Hollywood is demonic. And that demons are using Hollywood to spread, you know, filth and lies. So I have no qualms that, you know, that some Hollywood writer would write something and direct something that, you know, would have, you know, this kind of prophecy to it, quote unquote prophecy, for his demonic purposes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's podcast number 7 from that. We can talk about Hollywood's denial.
Oh, yeah.
But let me just end with this. We just talked about demons and Bethel Church, and I agree with you on that. Bethel Church is bad and demonic. But they're having something on October 9th through the 12th called the Great Communion Revival. It's called Communion America, and they're having 50 tents representing 50 states, one table. It's going to be a mile-long communion table. And what they believe is what they're trying to do here, what they believe they're going to do is open a portal. And it's a portal of mercy and revival in America. And they're bringing, you know, new apostolic reformation people together, Catholics. And it's called a blood revival. So I wanted to ask you the timing on this and everything. And I don't know. I know we don't know where this is going to go, but do you think this is another like continuation in our warning to be careful for what's coming?
Well, you brought it up earlier, basically a nationalistic religion that I don't know if you've said that on this podcast or if you said that prior.
I think I did.
Yeah. That, you know, that we need to be careful of, you know, creating a new Christianity, which is not Christianity at all, but is a patriotic Christianity, you know, where you have Christianity mixed with politics, so to speak, but it becomes a religion of its own. And so I could see something like this communion, you know, bringing people together, you know, for a common purpose and being part of that, you know, new religion that is potentially coming along.
Yeah. Whenever you talk about opening a portal, that kind of scares me. Because portals are usually not good.
Yeah. I don't know that we need to be opening portals.
No. No. Yeah, especially when they're kind of, yeah, satanically led portals. I mean, it's just kind of freaky, but.
Yeah, it reminds me of Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. They opened the Ark and all the, I guess it was supposed to be the Spirit of God came out, but it destroyed everybody around. And so it kind of reminds me of that. I mean, opening a portal and all of a sudden, you know, God strikes them all dead. But hopefully that won't happen. But it is a little bit of a scary deal. So
yeah, and that could be podcast number 8 off this, because we could talk about how Nazi Germany, there was a lot of occult mixed in with that. They really were looking for the relics, like in Indiana Jones. That's true. They were looking for all these religious relics to give them power. So it's interesting how all that kind of sinks together. So,
yeah. Who is the pastor? The German pastor that stood against Hitler, actually tried to kill him. Bonhoeffer. Yeah. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I watched a movie about him that kind of went through that whole thing, and it's interesting that Germany was that Hitler was, he was taking the church and using the church for his propaganda. And there were priests and, you know, that were part of the church who were going along with it. And Bonhoeffer was one of the ones who, you know, resisted it from the beginning. And you know, at least that's how the movie portrayed it. And so, there definitely are parallels here.
Yeah.
Of, that we're talking about a patriotic movement that's mixing Christianity together and, you know, a new religion. And you have Germany that did something that was very similar. Now, I'm not saying that Trump's a fascist or anything like that. I think that he could be an unwitting pawn in all of this, so to speak. So,
yeah, I agree, and I do think that's a good example of church and state kind of combining. And they did it in Germany, and it didn't work well. And
yeah, well, they changed. I mean, they changed the Bible. Like he rewrote it. He, you know, and made additions to it that made him look like he was, you know, whatever he was trying to portray himself as. And so, and the priest went along with it. The people who should have been standing against him went along with it. And so, there are definitely parallels, and Trump may not necessarily be the guy that does that, right? I'm not trying to equate Trump with Hitler, because the left does that way too much. But is there a possibility, something that we need to be concerned about and discern? Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Because Satan doesn't have any new tricks. No. So, I mean, he's just going to use the same tricks over and over.
Yeah. Well, we'll continue watching everything and see what happens and continue doing these podcasts. So,
yeah, I just want to, I'm sure that as people listen to this, that there are going to be things that they don't agree with or don't understand that I said or you said. You know, I think we have to, you know, to give grace to one another as we work through this confusion. I do think that we're undergoing a deluding influence, and there's a spirit of confusion, and you know that, you know, we're disoriented, if you will, as we go through the battles. And so what we're saying is that as we try to discern what's happening, you know, we're going to get some things wrong. I mean, we are. And just like when the battle is raging, soldiers do the wrong thing. They don't do the plan. But we have to recognize that, you know, we are in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle that's spilling itself over into, you know, a real true battle. And so, well, not that the spiritual battle isn't true, but it's an actual battle that's physical. And so we're going to get some things wrong. And, you know, I hope that I spoke the truth. I hope that I spoke what needed to be said. But at the end of the day, I hope that people will give me grace. And if they disagree with something, that they'll give me grace as I give them grace, as we discuss this and debate about it and try to understand. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, going back to Charlie Kirk and words and debate. I mean, we as Christians in the church, we need to be talking about these things, and we need to understand that I'm going to get some things wrong. You're going to get some things wrong. But as we come together, as we debate, hopefully we'll be able to align on what is actually the truth.
Yeah. And I think that's well said, because, you know, again, I don't want people to slap themselves on the head and go, oh gosh, these guys, they're against everything. We're not. We're just shepherds trying to protect the sheep. And we just are saying, look, there's some things here that just don't look kosher. And we're just trying to say, yeah, there's a great movement of God, and God does move, and it's wonderful and all this stuff. But then there's also, right alongside of that, there's the false, you know, Satan's doing his thing. And so we're just trying to make sure people don't fall into the gap and get swept up into something that isn't true. So,
yep.
Yeah, we're not trying to be the wet blanket, but, you know, we are. But that's what...
Do wet blankets keep you warm?
No, they're kind of creepy because they're damp, but it does put out a fire, and so it puts out that, and that's what we're trying to do is say, look, whenever there's, just don't jump on every bandwagon that passes by. Just make sure you know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely don't want to jump on bandwagons, because then you have to fall off and you might get hurt. So
it's like when the circus came to town, right? There's all these bandwagons and there's clowns and all these things. They can distract you, and just make sure you know who the clowns are. All right.
Now we're talking about creepy clowns.
Yes. Nobody likes a clown. Sorry. You've been listening to Fresh Bread, podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church Gainesville. For more information, go to gracegainesville.org. And thanks for listening. Sorry if you're a clown.